This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Lead poisoning continues to be the number one environmental poison for children in New York State. And in addition to concerns regarding the lead paint found in older homes, there is an additional concern about lead levels in our soil. Joining us this morning to help us better understand these dangers and what can be done about them is Dr. Howard Weinberger. He's an emeritus professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University and the medical director of the Central and Eastern New York State Lead Poisoning Prevention Resource Center. Welcome, Dr. Weinberger. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for asking me.
So let's do a quick review for our listeners. What is lead? What is lead poisoning?
Well, lead is an element, you know, that's been used for hundreds, thousands of years in our society, and it doesn't deteriorate. So wherever it is, it stays there forever. And the history of lead in this country specifically is a public health success story. Basically, we removed a significant amount of lead in the air back in the 1970s when leaded gasoline was banned. And that helped remove about a third of all the lead exposure for everybody, both children and adults. The problem for children is that it lead in paint, which was used all the way up until the late 1970s in indoor and outdoor paint, stays as a potential source of hazard for young, particularly for young children. And so what we find is that as housing stock deteriorates, the paint dries, it checkers, and it gets peels off, and it also becomes available to children in aerosolize when you open and close a window frames in an old wooded house. So the problem with lead is ongoing, and I'll talk to you about the incidents in New York State in a minute, but it's and in one way it's a public health success story because the levels of lead that we have seen in the past are not seen anymore. On the other side is that we learn more and more about the hazards of even low lead levels in children.
And so what are some of the dangers that lead causes if it's somehow absorbed into our bodies?
Right. So the major concern we have now is on the neurologic system, on the brain and developing brain, particularly in young children. But lead affects the blood system. It affects the formation of red cells. It affects the GI system. It affects the kidneys. But again, I think the main concern we always have is on the effect on the central nervous system. And it's cumulative. It occurs over time. And unfortunately, once it happens, it's irreversible.
So the fact is it continues to, as you said, it grows in the body if you have continued exposure.
Right.
The earlier stuff doesn't deteriorate or go away. And basically, whatever damages it causes are not soluble.
That's exactly right. So that's why prevention is so important.
So it's still happening, though. I read somewhere that even as early as 2000, as recently as 2014, you had cases locally.
Well, we still see and hear about children all across New York State because through my position as the medical director of our regional service, I consult on every child whose elevated levels require treatment in the hospital. And that treatment is usually a five-day course of intravenous medication to help eliminate the lead from the body. And so in both 2013 and 2014, I think we had at least a dozen children that we know of in our half of New York State, that's not even counting the western part of the state, who required in-hospital treatment. That means those levels were really very, very high.
And nationally, is this happening as well?
It's still the same problem nationally. The difference in New York State, though, it's important to realize that state by state, the prevalence of leaded housing is different. We have an older state. If you go out to the West Coast, where as many of the communities are relatively new, if housing stock was built after the 1970s, they don't have the lead housing hazard. So when we hear about lead in New York State, it's really a significant issue. And I think it's very important to realize that upstate New York housing, about 75% of the houses were built, wood frame houses were built before the 1970s when the lead legislation was limited.
So when we realized the problem.
So that's a problem that's going to go on well into the future.
And I read somewhere that national surveys currently estimate that there are more than 3 million children 6 years of age and younger who have lead poisoning.
Well, that's because the definition of lead poisoning has changed. It's based, again, on the success. In the past, when we first started doing this, lead levels, well, in the 19 in the 40s or 30 to 40 micrograms per deciliter were considered acceptable. Now, we don't consider any lead as acceptable. There is no such thing as a normal blood lead level. So the lower you set the standard, the more children are affected.
So who's most at risk for this? We've been talking children, but it can have a deleterious effect in adults as well.
It sure can. but clearly, our concern is mainly on the child and developing brain, developing nervous system. Sure, adults can get exposed in industry, in the paint industry, and people who work on bridges where they are removing old leaded paint from bridges, in hobbies. Their hobbies are associated with lead. We just recently had a teenage boy who was exposed in a rifle range where he was an excellent student, practicing rifle exercises, and he had an elevated blood lead level just from the exposure of the lead dust in the air.
And are pregnant women more at risk also, and the unborn fetus?
The most recent concerns have really added the issue of the pregnant women, because we know that lead will cross from the pregnant mom to the fetus, developing fetus. In animal studies, there are shows that lead can have deleterious effect on the developing fetus. It's not that clear in the human body, but we do see instances where a pregnant mom has, it's called pica behavior, where she ingests non-food products that may have lead in it. And we've had some very high lead levels in pregnant women. So the ACOG, which is the Association for OBGYNs, has recommended that high-risk pregnant women all should have lead screening done during pregnancy.
And children are being screened on a regular basis as well.
Well, New York State specifically says that all children, not just low-income children, but all children should be tested at 1 and 2 years of age. The reason for that is that if you identify a child who's had a lead exposure by age one, then some kind of housing rehabilitation or removal of the child from that affected environment can be done early on so they don't have continued exposure.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with pediatrician Dr. Howard Weinberger, and we're talking about the dangers of lead poisoning. I also read somewhere that new immigrants who are living perhaps in low-income housing could also have an exposure here.
Well, the issue of new Americans is twofold. One is they come from countries where they don't have the same regulations that we have. So there are still some countries where they use leaded gasoline. Then many of our new Americans coming to Syracuse have lived in refugee camps. They don't get exposed to leaded paint the way we do here in Syracuse, but they get exposed through home remedies, through spices, through unbeknownst to the family that they're using cosmetics. Some of them have very high lead contact, which are culturally appropriate in their culture, but they are not aware of. So the CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control, have recommended guidelines, you can't say regulations, but that all children under age 16 coming to the United States from another country should have a lead level within a month of arrival here in the States.
And you're saying no level is acceptable.
Right. The problem you mentioned before is that once they get settled in the United States, unfortunately, they're often settled in homes that may have been older homes with lead. So we now are required to retest all those children within 6 months after arrival here to make sure they don't get exposed after they come to the States.
So what about the soil? Because we mentioned that as something I hadn't heard before. I knew about the lead paint.
Well, the soil issue has been around for a long time for several reasons. Remember I mentioned about leaded gasoline. So when there was leaded gasoline, lead went up in the air and then dropped down into the soil. And so the closer you were living to a highway, the closer you were living to a freeway, or the closer you lived to an urban center, the dirt around those homes, the soil around those homes, was found to have higher amounts of lead. So that's an old issue.
But
it still remains an issue because lead, as I said, doesn't deteriorate. Now, as we see some of these older homes start to deteriorate, the eaves under the roofs and the windowsills, some of that peeling paint drops into the drip line around the house. And we've seen and heard cases of children playing in the dirt outside their own home or outside a neighbor's home. It may not even be their own home, where the house paint has deteriorated into the dirt and they're playing there and unknowingly get dirt on the hands. They don't even put the paint chips into the mouth, but they can get enough dirt on the hands to absorb that kind of lead over a period of time.
So what are the symptoms that you would have to recognize that somebody's got a higher lead level or perhaps poisoning?
Okay, so the issue there, again, is a complicated one. There are no symptoms early on. I can't make a clinical diagnosis of lead poisoning by looking at a child. They have to get a blood test. Again, back in the past, when we saw children who had extremely high levels, they would have seizures, they would have convulsions.
So at high levels, there are very clear symptoms. Horrible, right. But it's too late by then.
Exactly right. So we don't want to wait for that to happen. So the early signs and symptoms are really very, very subtle. And that's why we say every child should have a blood lead test at 1 and 2 years of age.
But the truth is, besides at high levels, besides the serious health concerns that they may have, they also can have learning disabilities, mental retardation, behavioral problems, lowered intelligence, stunted growth, hearing impairment, and then at the very high levels, convulsions and all the things you
mentioned. Yeah, so the research that I think has added new knowledge is the issues of the behavioral concerns that much more subtle associations with lead. And unfortunately, it's really very difficult to prove in individual cases because unfortunately, many of the children we see who have had lead exposure also had anemia as young infants. They may have been born prematurely. They may be living with poor nutrition. And so in individual cases, it's very difficult to prove a causative effect. But in research, we're looking at populations of children who have lead levels in the, I give you numbers, in 10 to 15 micrograms per deciliter, those children don't do as well at school. They have behavior problems. They have more incidence of delinquency when they're teenagers. There's an associated with violence as young adults.
Wow.
And this is all new information that we've seen.
Very pervasive. I don't want to run out of time. How do you treat it? You mentioned chelation, or you mentioned some way of getting it out of the blood.
Right.
If you find it early enough, or at any point, can you successfully remove it?
Well, no. What you do is remove the child from the exposure. So what we do is limit exposure or stop the exposure, and then lead levels will come down on their own as long as it hasn't been very high. I always say it depends on how long the exposure has been and how high the exposure was before you recognize it.
But are there drugs you can use as well?
The ones we use require hospitalization, right?
And they're called chelators.
It's called chelating.
They bind to the lead.
That's right. They bind to the lead, and then you allow it to be excreted through the kidney, right?
So very quickly, in the little bit of time we have left, how do you prevent this? What do you do? What do you recommend?
It's still public health education. Health departments around New York State, certainly our own health department in Onondaga County, very actively engage with education. Remember, every new baby, every new mother is new to this problem.
Right.
And so even though it's an old story for me,
and a continuing story.
It's new for every new family. So information is presented in multiple ways, literature, through WIC clinics, through prenatal counseling, through a variety of other settings.
So you have to really watch. You have to know whether your baby is being exposed. You have to know if you live in an older house and you have peeling paint, that should be in some way mitigated without you being there because you don't want the dust in the air
exactly,
at the time.
Exactly.
And you really need to kind of be aware of the potential for this kind of
right. And if you're
exposure.
Doing anything to remediate a problem in your home, it should be done professionally.
Mm-hmm.
It should be done by people who know how to do it safely, because that, I think, is the worst problem is you have lead in the paint and it's not bothering anybody, and then you start
to disrupt
it and you create a problem. And so we've seen that happen unknowingly by really well-meaning people, and over again what happens is the child and sometimes the adult in the family gets lead poisoned that
Unbelievable.
Way.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. This is always very instructive, very helpful and important information. My guest has been Dr. Howard Weinberger, Professor Emeritus of Pediatrics at Upstate Medical University and the Medical Director of the Central Eastern New York State Lead Poisoning Prevention Resource Center. Once again, thanks a lot. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.